Heather McCoy Show.
I'm back. Who knew? Welcome to the special global climate strike edition of the Heather McCoy Show. Later on in the hour, we'll be joined by 350 PDX organizer Misha Bladen, who will be joining us via phone call in front of City Hall as the climate strike is going to be organized there. But first, we're taking your calls on the climate at 503-231-8187. This is KBOO 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland, and on the climate strike is really just a way to say, hey, we're not doing anything about global warming. We have maybe about at most a 10-year window to do something about it. And so on September 18th, Greta Thunberg and other youth climate activists testified in front of Congress, and we'll play that clip.
I have not come to offer any prepared remarks at this hearing. I'm instead attaching my testimony. It is the IPCC Special Report on Global Warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius, the SR 1.5, which was released on October 8th, 2018. I am submitting this report as my testimony because I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the scientists. And I want you to unite behind the science. And then I want you to take real action. Thank you.
So she basically deferred to the IPCC report, and if you read just the executive summary, it makes it very clear that it's we can still fix climate change. Like, this isn't set in stone as far as the worst actions. You know, Houston doesn't have to flood every year, or it seems like it floods every year right now. One of the statements that it makes is, quote, limiting warming to 1.5 Celsius implies reaching net zero CO2 emissions globally around 2050, and it is concurrent deep reductions in emissions of non-CO2 forcers, particularly methane, and that's high confidence that they say that. And then it goes on to say, from the bullet point, such mitigation pathways are characterized by energy demand reductions, decarbonization of electricity and other fossil fuels, electrification of energy end use, deep reductions in agricultural emissions, and some form of CDR with carbon storage or land sequestration in geological reservoirs, low energy demand and low demand for land that is, and GBH intensive consumption goods will to facilitate limiting global warming as close as possible is 1.5 degrees Celsius. And if you think about this within the context of Portland, and again, we are in the middle of pledge drive. The number for that is 877-500-5266. The number to call the air room is 503-231-8187. We are taking your calls on this climate strike day. And if we think about this locally, and this is the question I have for the callers, if we think about this locally, what would you like to tell our city officials on how Portland can take a more of a leadership role in combating climate change? And I also want to pose this question, how do we get the people that deny climate change and have a vested interest in denying climate change? How do we get to see that, you know, let's just say, for example, 100% that climate change is bullcrap, which it isn't. But let's just, for this rhetorical question, there's before and after photos of Los Angeles, for example, in the 70s, before the EPA really, the regulations took hold on pollution, and what it looks like now. It's night and day. So if global warming doesn't exist, why don't you want to make our environment a better place for our children? And is that how you engage them? I'm not sure. The number again is 503-231-8187. And, like, I see a lot of really low-hanging fruit for this fight, for our future. Embarrassing low-hanging fruit that we can do right here in Portland. According to the City of Portland transportation data, transportation makes up 42% of emissions that are released in Multnomah County. 22% are attributed to the commercial sector, where residential housing accounts for 18% of carbon sources. So I would do, like, I have like five bullet points that I just came up with off the top of my head. And one, I would impose a moratorium on any freeway projects that add to the total capacity of any freeway or highway. That includes the proposed Rose Corridor expansion, which costs $500 million. That's $500 billion that we're pouring towards more carbon pollution. As I covered on my former show, the Heather McCoy Show, if you add capacity, it's induced demand. You're just going to create more people driving. You're creating more of an environment for a car. And then you're going to reduce the people that walk or take a bike. That's just how that works. There's just no other way around that. The nice environments for walking and biking, those happen to be like dense corridors where the speed limit's around 25 miles an hour. Where it's not so fun, oh, I don't know, major boulevards where people are whizzing by you at 45 miles an hour. And I should know. I just bicycled to Lake Oswego yesterday, and I bicycled to Gladstone the day before from downtown Portland. And I know what areas that I feel safe as a bicyclist and which areas I don't. And the ones that I don't are the ones that are car oriented more towards the suburbs. And so there's, like, that's just it. Like, we need to make it so that it's not comfortable to drive your car. And I know you're sitting in gridlock traffic and thinking, I'm a major rear hole, but here's the thing. Like, even if you go to electric cars, you're still releasing PM10 with brake dust, even more so with electric cars because they're heavier. So when they stop, you're releasing more PM10 into the atmosphere. So just, you know, waving a magic wand and saying, oh, I wish Elon Musk will save us all, isn't getting anywhere. And, you know, if everyone drove a Tesla, that doesn't really help you out either. And sticking to transportation, since it is 44% of our CO2 emissions here in Portland, I would institute congestion pricing on the I-5 and 205 bridges of Washington State. I have had a cousin move from Clackamas over to Vancouver, and because the tax situation works out better for him in some way. And he's a reseller of goods. And if you're not familiar with the resale businesses, they keep up with ads and trends, try to get ahead of them, and then resell it for a markup online. And so, you know that he goes across that bridge, gets tax-free stuff in Portland, comes back into Vancouver. I just know he does that. It makes sense to do that. And so, like, you should, there's a thing, like, conservatives always love to talk about the supply and demand. They don't ever talk about externalities. You need to pay for the externality. You just do. If we're going to solve this, you're going to pay for the externality. And so maybe you change your behavior. Maybe you vote for a MAX line that extends over to Vancouver instead of playing to the racism that said, oh, we don't want the Portland people coming over to Vancouver. So I do have a caller. Caller, did you want to share your thoughts on global strike or climate strike day?
Sure. I'm just curious. I just turned into your program. Do you support banning cars, for example, in downtown Portland?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say I would be supportive of banning cars. I would take a hard look at, like, maybe not allowing, limiting parking garages. Because if it's harder to park, then you're least likely to take your car.
Sure. Well, I don't know if you've been in Portland a long time, but there used to be a thing called Fearless Wear downtown with climate. and 1,400 transit riders petitioned to keep it when TriMet tried to get rid of it. It was created in the 70s to protect air quality. But I guess one of my questions as a Portland State person is just how serious exactly, and I think the high school kids are very serious, but I'm curious about what some of us at PSU term incrementalism, or not exactly greenwashing, but just banning cars in downtown Portland seems like that would be a very specific way, legally, as government fiat, as a government rule and regulation, and requiring people to use alternate modes of transit in downtown Portland. Making transit free with TriMet would also be another way to eliminate the problems of fare inspectors and encourage people to actually use public transit. Apparently, ridership with TriMet has been going down and down and down. I don't know if you take TriMet yourself or not necessarily.
I take TriMet all the time. In fact, I have a TriMet pass dangling across my neck because I'm about to go to my paying gig.
Who did you vote for last time when the TriMet board had elections?
I'm new to Portland, so I have not voted in the TriMet elections. But I will say is I do support the toll-free TriMet. Like, I think that you need to make it totally incentivized. How you would have a car-free Portland, downtown Portland, I'm not exactly sure on how that would work yet, and I am definitely open to it.
Right. Well, as far as electing the TriMet board, it's a little bit like black people in South Africa under apartheid.
Sure.
You can't write in somebody on the ballot for the TriMet board because the board's not elected. It's appointed. One of our thoughts with Transit Riders Union out of Portland State is that one way to not just ban cars in downtown Portland or make TriMet free, but to implement those things would on transportation costs and pollution would be to require the TriMet board to be elected. Like, it has a $500 million budget, and that's our rider fees and fares as well as taxes.
Yeah.
So that's my thought. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, you're very welcome. And with that, I think we do have to turn it over to Pledge Drive Central. Do I have my pitch partner?
Yeah, you've got Radhika.
Radhika!
Yep, I'm Radhika. I'm your membership director. And, you know, if you're just tuning in now, you are listening during our fall membership drive. You know, your membership does help empower people in our community to offer you news, just like Heather's doing now. We're offering different perspectives than you hear on every other station. And, you know, if there's really something here that speaks to you, we want it to continue to do that, and we want you to help us in that work. You know, you can start donating for as little as $5 a month. You know, if you don't make that much, I think that that's a good place to start, as it's a smaller monthly donation, and we can still thank you with a gift. We've got a black beanie or a reusable tote bag at our $5 price point. Winter and fall are coming up, and it's going to be rainy for 9 months.
Yeah, I will say that as somebody that doesn't make a lot of money, I did donate. I sustain at a $6 amount pledge. I do have the KBU beanie. Thanks to Jenna, I now have the KBU tote bag if you were listening last week.
Yeah.
The number to dial is 877-500-5266. Help support KBU. Help support community radio. Even though the Heather McCoy Show is currently off the air, I just came back because I was asked to do one show on climate change, and it's as somebody that studied city planning, it's something I'm very passionate about. And that's what I like about KBU is you can share that passion. 877-500-5266. Let's get some phone lines going, and let's get some calls. Do we have Radhika still?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. We're still on the clock.
Yep. You know, if there's something here that speaks to you about climate change, if you're passionate about finding these alternate solutions, I think it's a great idea to start supporting now. You know, you are supporting these voices that are bringing you news about climate change, about the climate strike. We're one of the only stations in Oregon, I believe, that syndicates Democracy Now! As well. So this is kind of your source for listening. in the Portland metro area. So we're urging you to call 877-500-5266. I've got some callers behind me in Membership Central. We are primed and ready to take your calls and take your donations. If you're really passionate about what you're hearing, again, on Heather's special about climate change, please give us a call.
And I will say one thing before I go back to the regular programming. Thank you for the pitch break. One thing I will say is that we can point to so many different things, and it's easy to do on social media of going saying like, "Oh, this is wrong," or "That's wrong," or "I don't like this." But at the same time, and we pay a lot of bills that we don't like. Do you really like filling up with gas? Do you really like paying Comcast like $40 a month for internet? I don't. And so for $6 a month, and you can help sustain KBOO, that's the minimal ask. More would be great. I had a pledge break when on my previous station where I asked for the sugar daddy pledge. We would love a sugar daddy pledge, but $6 a month is all it takes to really sustain community radio. And there's so many things wrong with the media that we don't even need to, we can count on so many fingers. This is one of the things, even though we do have our troubles right now, this is one of the things that is right. Because like in a normal situation, if these troubles had occurred, iHeartRadio would just clear out and change format. And we're still here. We're still persisting. That's because this is a strong fabric of a community radio station. The number again is 877-500-5266. And with that, I hear we have another caller for the show. Caller, you're on the air. And I guess they dropped off. So going back, and this is a special edition of the climate strike broadcast of the Heather McCoy Show here on 90.7. KBOO. So I went through some my five, and I haven't gone there all the way through, so I'll just recap this for a brief second. So impose a moratorium on any freeway projects that add to the total capacity of the freeway or highway, and this includes Rose Corridor expansion and any I-5 bridge that attempts to add lanes. I support a new I-5 bridge if you want to get a complete grade separation from boats, but I do not support it if you add more lanes. Number two, institute congestion pricing on the I-5 and 205 bridges to Washington State. Number three, which we didn't get to, incentivize property owners and homeowners to install energy efficient windows. My apartment, which was built in 1926, has old windows which let in the heat in the summer and cold in the winter. Number four, changing zoning laws to award density bonuses for buildings which are net negative. So they do not require energy at all. They produce all of their own energy. And number five is very low-hanging fruit, and I can't believe this is Portland every time I see it. Ban gas-powered leaf blowers. For the love of God, that's so easy. We have a caller. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Is that me?
We have two. Wow. Who wants to go first?
You pick.
I don't have control over that.
I'll call right back.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Hi.
Okay. Well, this is Sean calling anyway.
Hi, Sean. Hello. Hi, Sean.
Okay. Maybe we'll work it out. So, listen, I'll just try to make it real quick.
Sure.
So, a lot of the ideas, of course, are excellent. But at the same time, you were mentioned earlier about how do we try to change people's minds if they don't believe in it?
Yeah.
And you don't. Either they want to or you know, they don't. Obviously, you try to set as best as you can by example by what you do. But ultimately, like Yuval Noah Harari, who wrote the best-selling books, Sapiens and Homo Deus, he just wrote his third to the trilogy called 21 Ideas for the 21st Century. And as he put it, you know, right now we have 7 to 8 billion people on the planet, and they all have different agendas.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in the human scale, that's never going to change. There's just some people that are never going to change. So I just wanted to say that. But the other thing, again, I need to emphasize real quick is, as great as all these ideas are, one of the things that we still refuse to talk about the
We refuse to talk about what? You cut out for a second.
Elephant in the room is that overpopulation. We need to stop population growth because otherwise it's a moot point. The planet is already a limited sustainable sphere, and we need to start addressing that.
Well, studies have shown that when you educate women, population goes down. Absolutely.
It never really gets talked about, and it seriously needs to be talked about.
I think that's reasonable. You're welcome. Do we have another caller by any chance? You're on the air on KBOO. And you're on the air on KBOO. Whoopsie daisies. Let's try this again. It happens. And so you're on the air on KBOO. Part of the problem is our Telos machine, and this is why we're going to bring Radhika back in. One of the reasons why you need to support KBOO is our Telos machine, which is our phone patch, which allows you to talk to these very hosts on these very airwaves. The lights are out on one of them, and so it makes it very difficult for people to board up at this point. And so it's one of those things where we run by literally paperclips and duct tape, isn't it? And so we definitely do need your donation to keep this going. We're going to go back to Pledge Drive Central. Take it away.
Yeah, this is Pledge Central. You're listening to KBOO. And again, we're funded by your listeners. We're asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member today. Again, I'm Radhika. I'm your membership director, and I'm excited to be on this special edition of a pop-up Heather McCoy show.
I'm like a taco truck.
I know. You're wonderful. And, you know, your donation is supporting in-house community-made programs. Heather's bringing you programming right now that's way more relevant to us. We're talking about Portland, how we can make the situation better from ourselves. And I just love hearing ideas from our listeners. When you donate here, you're empowering us to hear more voices from the community. We are held together, as Heather said, by paperclip and duct tape, and we're a nonprofit. So almost 80% of our operating budget does come from the community. We're not supported by big corporate beasts who advertise constantly on our radio. It's just you, our community. So go ahead, 877-500-5266, or really easily online at kboo.fm. What about you, Heather? Why do you think we should support KBOO?
Oh, there's so many different reasons. Community radio in general has been empowering people for so long. Me personally, even though it wasn't at KBOO, it was at a different station. I came into community radio very shy. My first show was a music show called Rachel Ray's Cooking Accident. It was when Rachel Ray was only on Food Network, and she's not the multimedia star that she is today. And it was a hodgepodge of different genres. And so I forced myself at every talkback opportunity to actually talk on the air. And it was more awkward than Conan O'Brien's first show, if you saw that back in 1993. But eventually I powered through it, and I am the amazing, I'm saying this with air quotes, amazing broadcaster that I am today. And so that level of allowing somebody to learn how to communicate on the air is phenomenal. And KBOO walks people through the very first training when you have the training class, and then you figure out different pathways you want to take. Do you want to do live sound? Do you want to learn live sound? That's what we teach people. For bands, do you want to do public affairs? Do you want to do music? Do you just don't want to do anything on the air and help out in our receptionist area? Do you want to help fix the building and maintenance? What do you want to contribute to KBOO? And that's such an open-ended question here. And then everyone that I've ever met here is really awesome. And so it's that community vibe that makes me thrive. And that's the reason I take so much time out of my day to actually support and work with KBOO.
And, you know, that's really important. KBOO does offer that radio education and even reception and data entry education, and we don't charge ever for that. We're offering free education. We're trying to, you know, offer that access to everybody, but unfortunately, right, we do have some overheads. You know, our transmitter alone for the Portland 90.7 station is $120,000 a year, which is a pretty penny. So, you know, even your $5 a month donation is going to help with that. So give us a call. We're waiting for you. 877-500-5266.
And I think the other thing too is, even in the days of Spotify and Pandora, like, the stuff you hear on KBOO, a lot of it is, especially on my, in my collection, is things you can't hear on like Spotify. They're like CDRs that maybe a band made 10 of at one time. And that goes for a lot of shows that and they have underrepresented genres. And so, like, that's, the music side is a really important part of KBOO, and I think that doesn't get nearly talked about enough. The number, 877-500-5266. Reading is hard this morning. 877-500-5266 to support KBOO, or make a secure donation at kboo.fm. Keep this community radio enterprise alive. And do we have a, we're going to go back to the regular show again, I guess. And then do we have another call? Yes, we do. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm very proud of the climate strikers, all these children. It's nationwide, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And because the first time I heard of the term climate change was on a very popular TV show. It was called A Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Huh.
That 1990. And that's the first time I heard it. So this has been going on for a while, and so it's been 30 years.
Well, right? The oil companies knew about it way back in 1979, so it's something that is well known, but will we do anything about it? That's what the climate strike is demanding, right?
Yeah, to do something. Though things are going on, but the previous caller mentioned about population increase. Well,
yeah.
We have 7 billion people in this on this planet, and I think 2/3 of them cook with wood and heat with wood. So, I mean, with the increase of this doing that, but don't go. I assume eventually they will get they want the same things as we do.
Well, it's the industrialized part of the world that's contributing to global warming. It's not, you know, indigenous tribes.
That's true. And here in Oregon, we're technically a rural state. And you were mentioned about the MAX going over to Vancouver. Well, the people in Vancouver passed a law saying we don't want the MAX.
Yeah, that needs to change.
Going there, I mean, it, right now they could put a track across the I-205 bridge because it was made for it. But they said, no, we don't want it, you know. So,
that's where congestion pricing comes in. So until you allow the MAX, we're going to charge you every time you cross the bridge. That's just...
Yeah, I mean, something like that. Yeah, but it's also an interstate bridge with the federal government actually doing that. Well, we'll see what can happen. One of the other views was, hey, make I-5, change I-5 to I-205, where I-205 is right now, make that I-5 and the I-5 put it Highway 99, so it's a state highway instead of a interstate. So there's different ways of doing this, but also something to consider, Portland's population increased 100,000 people since 2010.
Yeah.
So we're more dense, and what's causing a lot of this pollution is Uber drivers.
Yeah, they're a source too.
So much Uber drivers, and they're driving all the time.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. I would also take a look at, I was eating breakfast at Patty's, which is not going to be around too much longer in St. John's, and I was looking at what the building that Patty's was in, which had zero setback. It was pedestrian friendly, and then right across the street is a bank with way too much parking. The amount of space cars take is phenomenal. The little secret entrance into my local Trader Joe's from the other side of the street, that can be an apartment building that houses, oh, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 apartments, but it only houses like three cars and acts as an easier way to get it to Trader Joe's if you aren't on Gleason. There's the car issue is a major issue, and it trickles over to housing. Would you agree with that as well? Or?
Yes, I do agree with that. So this is all myriad of issues here, and the I've been looking over this for over 40 years or something like that, and when it boils down to it, it's actually emissions, human emissions.
Yeah,
not just CO2. There's other emissions going up into the air.
Methane, PM10, right. PM6, I believe, yes. 6, but yeah.
Yeah, but not just carbon.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not just carbon.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, thank you for taking
yeah,
my call.
Thanks for being on the air. Do we have another caller? No, we don't. Okay, so perfect. Before we get our guests on the air and we go to back to pitch break, I just want to talk about some long-term planning that I would like to see. I would like to see the I-85 portion of the MAX line resituated so it's underground, and it's actually it goes underground all the way from the Old Town Station to Gateway Plaza, and then move the track over so it's actually in populated areas, and then rezone those for transit-oriented development. So, like, it's so weird that Portland has a great transportation system, but at the heart of it is so low density, it's not even funny. And so Misha, I hear, is on the phone. Let's take her. Welcome to the Climate Edition. Whoop, we have a dial tone. So we're going to go to back to pitch. We're going to try Misha again. And we don't have Misha. So we're going to go back to Pitch Central We're going to talk to Radhika at Pledge Central. And, what's going on over there? How are we doing for the hour? What is our goal and where are we at?
Good morning. Yeah, so we have one donation so far. We are, let's see.
Do I have to break out the Gene Scott? Get on the phones!
Oh, yep. We've only got one donation from Jane, who is a wonderful current member.
Thank you, Jane!
You know, if you are a current member, there's another challenge we'd like to offer up to you. So let's say you're donating $5 a month. Maybe you could take that to $6 a month and join Heather in the $6 a month club. And, you know, we can...
You make it sound as exciting as the Mile High Club.
Oh, well, you know, we try to be exciting over here. We offer up that programming that you're dying to hear. And Heather's right. We were talking about our music earlier. It's easy to think about public affairs while we're listening to things about the climate strike. Heather, Amy Goodman, the climate strike going on right now in Portland. But we also offer music that you're not going to hear in other places. I am not sure how many people know this, but KBOO is home to a very large music library where we have quite the selection, and we have live DJs who come in, create these shows, and offer up some really insightful education about the history and background of these songs and what you're listening to and sort of how it came to be. And when you call 877-500-5266, you're supporting that. You're showing that you're supporting something different, something that's not on mainstream media, something you can't get from Netflix or Hulu or Spotify. KBOO's really unique in that. And when you call, you are supporting that. But, you know, even you've got your music, you've got your public affairs. We're exploring these different approaches to solving problems. I'm not sure how many other radio stations have the ability to hear from the community about what they think should be done about, what they think should be done about climate change. And we're waiting for your call here, 877-500-5266. But I think for now we're going to head back to Heather and hear from Misha.
Oh, and we have Misha. She's live from.
Yeah, I think I'm. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, we can. Loud and clear.
Perfect. Great.
So what's on tap for the climate strike today? You're at City Hall now. Is it going to be a march or just a rally, or what's the idea for the climate strike?
What a great question. If you could hear the background music, I'm currently at Terry Shrug Plaza right in front of City Hall. Today at 10:30 is going to kick off our rally here at City Hall, where there'll be speakers from numerous different organizations. We have our youth leaders who have helped put on this entire event. We have folks from Anak Bayan speaking. We have folks from the Pacific Climate Warriors, and about 4 Brazilian and Indigenous representatives speaking today at Terry Shrug Plaza. And then once it's what time? About 11:40, 11:45. We're going to kick off our march to OMSI. This march, we're all going to walk straight down Madison, across Hawthorne Bridge, down the East Bank Esplanade. We're at OMSI's bridge lot. There will be a climate festival. We have over 50 different organizations tabling there and have numerous different ways for you to get involved in this movement. And also, there's going to be fun games. There's going to be speakers there. Joanne Hardesty will be speaking. And we also have, like, food trucks and the whole shebang. It's going to be a really nice family-friendly day at OMSI from about 12:30 to 5:30. And you can find different ways to get involved with the climate justice movement there.
That sounds awesome. So who are some of the people that are going to be tabling at your event? I know Aaron from No More Freeways PDX is going to be there, because I asked him to do the show as well, and he was like, I'm at the climate strike. So who else is going to be there?
We have so many different organizations. Off the top of my head, I know we're going to be having, you know, Extinction Rebellion, Sunrise PDX, the Pacific Climate Warriors. We have Gabriella PDX. We have some folks from Metro. We have Climate Toothpaste. You guys should check out their booth. It's really interesting. It's not what you think it is.
Yeah.
Just by the words. And so that's like maybe like 5 or 6 of the 50 different organizations who will be tabling that day.
That's awesome.
Today. Oh my gosh, it's today. I keep forgetting.
Yeah. I was wondering, you're obviously busy organizing this thing, so you're not listening to the radio most likely. We've been taking calls, and we're going to continue to take calls. 503-231-8187 is the number. We're trying to, like, we have a list of things. I have a list of things that we want to see done in Portland to combat climate change. Do you guys have, like, a list of things that you would like the mayor, Ted Wheeler, to, like, say, hey, this is things that we need to change in Portland, and these are the policies that we need to enact?
Yes, actually, we have 4 youth leaders who have, again, been 4 people who have really helped all of this happen. They're going to be speaking today, and they have like 5 or 6 different demands for the city. And some of them is talking to Ted Wheeler directly, but I won't share those myself because, you know, they work so hard, so you guys can come.
Yeah.
Climate strike and like hear it. And then we'll be live streaming it on Facebook and Instagram as well. All of the speeches. So if you can't make it today, there's a way for you to plug in and like take a listen to what you will be demanding from the city.
So like when you, I've been a part of like different organizations for various causes. There's rallies, there's marches. It's a good way to draw attention to it. But like, how does the struggle continue outside of climate strike today?
Yeah, so that's like the intention of that climate festival today, is that, you know, there is something awesome about marches, gathering community and having voices be heard if you do have speakers. But the thing is, like, the movement has to continue growing, and it has to continue with this momentum that we're going to be building up today and the rest of this week. So that's like the intention of this climate festival, is that people who like want to get involved or maybe don't even know they want to get involved can go there and see all of the work that people are doing. There are so many different pathways of climate justice. You can, you know, be protesting different banks and having them divest from fossil fuels. You could like get involved with like the Portland Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines and really go for, you know, that international solidarity lens and like land sovereignty and so on. And there's so many different like pathways. There's not just one, you know, like one climate justice movement fits all, because there's so many, and like every different pathway that we like choose or like that brings us like fire is very valid and necessary, because we can't do like, well,
yeah, well, it's such,
so
an,
we can't go to like 50 at once.
That's the thing is that's the challenge, and then the opportunity is that there's so many different things that evolve around climate change that you can insert yourself in literally anything, and then it will eventually get lead back to climate change. I think of in California, near where I used to go to college, there was a trash incinerator facility, and then they wanted to expand the trash incinerator facility, and the downwind community was a community farming community of color. So there's environmental justice issues as well. So there's a lot of different areas to plug yourself into.
Exactly, yeah. And I think one big narrative that at least the organizing group with like youth and other partner coalitions that we've talked about is, yeah, this is climate justice, but climate justice is a human rights issue in the end. And like, yeah, like if you're fighting for the environment, all in some way that will tie back to a human rights issue, whether it be land, whether it be the right to a future, you know. And so it's really awesome that so many people are coming from so many different like walks of organizing instead of like walks of life, you know, and finding, and you could find like your right place here in Portland, because it's so important. I mean, Sydney, there was 10,000 people, you know. And if there's another thing, there's a week of action following this. If you go on the website, Climate Strike Oregon, you could find different ways to continue, like all of the energy that you'll get from today, you know, like from hearing you speak and from hearing communities of color speak today and going to this festival and seeing how lively the like organizing scene is here in Portland. Like you could take that energy and continue that on through the rest of the week. And at Climate Strike Oregon, there's going to be, there's a list of different events happening throughout the week from the 24th to like the 26th. There's a 48-hour candlelight vigil at Zenith Energy, for example. So,
okay. I was just curious, you're part of a group called 350 PDX. Can you describe that group and what you do there?
Yeah, so 350PDX is a climate justice nonprofit. We have numerous different things that we dip into. For example, one of our organizers is a Just Transition and Equity organizer, and what they do is, you know, they meet with like BIPOC caucuses, which is like Black, Indigenous, People of Color caucuses, and talk about how to make the climate justice movement, which has been traditionally white-led and dominated, like how can we make this more equitable and get like POC voices to the front. And then we also and reinvest teams for like fossil fuel industries, and our biggest like focus is like Portland Concerns, and one of like the big projects we've been working on like with like Extinction Rebellion has been you know, like stopping Zenith Energy and getting a just transition for workers there.
Can you describe that situation more? I have not heard of Zenith Energy and what that entails.
Yeah, Zenith Energy is in Northwest Portland. It is the biggest fossil fuel infrastructure here in Portland. And
sure.
They're one of the biggest exporters overseas of tar sands and oil. And if one thing too, there are like numerous oil trains that come through Zenith Energy and ship like hundreds of thousands of gallons like up to like Canada or like all throughout the Pacific Northwest. And so that is like one thing we're trying to stop, because the funny part is, funny is probably not the right adjective here, but is situated.
It depends,
right?
If your sense of humor runs a little bit darker, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so it's situated right there on the Willamette, and a lot of this infrastructure, if you're like, just like ignoring the fact that all of this like poison is being shipped out, all of this infrastructure is like outdated, hasn't been updated in like 50 years or something. And so you can imagine like these big rigs of oil situated directly like next to the Willamette, you can only imagine how much leakage is happening.
Yeah, that's one of the things you mentioned, outdated. That's one of the things that really is confusing to me and saddens me as far as where our society's gone. Is I remember, you know, reading books about like maybe the 20s or the 60s, everyone had this bright sense of where the future can go and nothing was sacred, mm-hmm. and you always move forward. And we seem to be in this thing of, you're not taking my car away from me. That is the most utmost form of human transportation ever. Like, it's some kind of like God-given like right or liberty. And so what's strange about that is like the Green New Deal, for instance, they're trying to move on and then move towards more of a utopian, like futuristic society, but people still have their heads in the sand and don't want to do it. It's just baffling to me that we've become so nihilistic, we just want to be trapped in what we currently have.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like the purpose, well, what the purpose is of this climate strike globally. I don't know if y'all saw Australia, because I forget that like 12 hours ahead, they had tens of thousands of people show up. And, you know, in the end, sometimes there are people who either don't believe that this is happening or are not privy to the idea of changing what is already happening. And change is scary for human beings oftentimes.
Yes, it is very scary, yeah.
But that's what I feel like the purpose of these kind of movements are. Like, while marching is nice, again, I was saying, oh, there's not always that, like momentum afterwards and, like, continuing of action. But if there's one thing I do, like, I really do believe these marches, like, help. What's the word? Sorry, there's so much like noise here in downtown.
No, it's you're totally fine. You're doing great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like it's a purpose of as well, not only gathering community and celebrating what's happening and like knowing that you're not alone in this movement, but it's also a way for people who are either walking by or they hear about it, they see that there's so many thousands of people who are like fighting this fight and realize that maybe, oh, what if I like insert myself into one meeting one day and see what this is all about. Maybe I'll argue it, maybe I won't, we'll see.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like that, it's this like spark that ignites that fire that people like take that the second to sit down and then reevaluate, because I think what people are afraid of is, oh no, no more cars, but you know, it's like think about it. What if we just had, for example, like free public transportation, cutting down cars, you know, that could be like one step towards something better.
Yeah, the cascade.
You're still getting transportation. You're still going to be like autonomous and mobile. And I think that's like a big fear, is people fear losing their autonomy due to, you know, this climate crisis. And in the end, it's like you can lose your autonomy or you can lose your planet. You
yeah.
know, but there's a way to preserve autonomy.
Yeah, well, I'm on the George Carlin side of things, where I don't think the Earth is in danger. I think the human species is in danger.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. We are up against a pledge drive clock. As an organizer, yeah. How has KBOO impacted you?
How has KBOO impacted me? I have just loved and appreciated how many different lead youth organizers you brought onto your show, because so frequently with certain elected officials, I've noticed that they talk to youth like, oh, great what you're doing, you know, that patronizing, condescending sort of, you can't really make a difference, but look at you kids, so cute.
Yeah.
But I really think that I, as an organizer, KBOO has impacted me by like giving youth a voice and putting them on an equal platform as any other organizer out there. Their age doesn't matter. What matters is their drive, their passion, and having their voices be heard. And that is what KBOO has truly, truly done, is have all of these kiddos be heard.
That's awesome. Misha, we're going to hold you on the line. We're going to go back to Pledge Drive Central with Radhika, our membership coordinator. You're on. Yes, here we go.
Sorry about that. It is busy back here in Membership Central. We have Mindy from Corbett who started a new pledge.
Yes, Mindy.
Yes, so she joined our $20 a month club, which we are super happy to have. But again, you know, just give us a call, 877-500-5266. Your membership is going to serve you and thousands of others in the community with this learning, this culture, this entertainment, and it really matters, especially in a time like this, to have an outlet for alternative cases, alternative solutions to common problems, and we're offering that to you, you know? So pick up your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kbu.fm. If you're already a monthly contributor, you can still help. You know, we're challenging our monthly sustaining members to increase their donation by $1 or $2. Like, if all our monthly donors gave just a dollar more, we would get an extra $27,000 a year. Or an extra $54,000 if everyone increased $2. And that is really powerful. When you support KBOO, you're really voting on where your money gets to go. Heather was talking about earlier how we have bills that we're not excited but sort of obligated to pay. And when you financially support KBOO, you're choosing where your money is going. You're choosing what to support. Our lines here are pretty quiet. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. We've got our lovely volunteers back here waiting to hear from you. We'd love to hear why KBOO is important to you, why issues like the climate strike do matter to you, and, you know, why it's important to donate to a community radio.
And I want to just add, like, there are very little rules here. So, you know, I can talk about how Exxon knew about climate change way back in the 70s and did nothing about it, like the tobacco industry. And I don't have to worry about a memo from my boss saying, well, you can't bash Exxon over the air. The Exxon doesn't support us. They don't support us like they do PBS even these days. To give us a call, 877-500-5266. Support community supported, support community supported radio. I just got a weird message in my face, and I'm like, oh, 30 seconds, what? So yeah, 877-500-5266. Help keep KBOO, the radio station, up and going and thriving, not just surviving. Your donation does that. 877-500-5266. I feel like a lot of the programming at KBOO, and I'll just wrap with this, is the things that people talk about between the lines, to borrow a PA show's title. And KBOO is basically bringing it out to the front. I know that my introduction to KBOO and the first time I was on the air was during an LGBT, I think it was Queer Boo, was supporting celebrating 20 years or something like that, and I was on the air somehow. And so that was my first time here, and we support marginalized communities. We give voice to those that aren't really heard from in a mainstream society. Like, I have this weird fetish where I'm so removed from mainstream society, I'll watch 20 minutes of an NFL game to try to figure out where we're at in this country. The number, 877-500-5266. And we have Misha still on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're back. Talk about what are the goals to save off the worst devastation of climate change? Your organization is called 350 PDX for a reason. It's 350 particulate matters of CO2 that is sustainable for humankind to live on this planet. Can you talk about the science a little bit on that?
Oh my goodness, I have not been in college.
That's an honest answer.
I used to be a bio major, like I said. Oh gosh. I wish I could tell you. I'm going to be so honest. That is not something I am well equipped to answer.
That's totally fine. I mean, it's not just the climate changes as far as like, oh, we're going to have like hotter temperatures by 5 degrees. It's species lost. I don't know if you read the report yesterday where there's the declining number of birds, and birds are kind of like the canary in the coal mine, so to speak, and there's less of them. So it's not just us. It's a massive extinction going on right now in the last 30 years, and we're trying to prevent that through climate change. We're trying to prevent any more climate devastation through climate change. What are practical steps that everyone can take as far as activism and instituting changes within their own lives? Because change is hard, as we were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can make an individual difference. Whether that be, you know, buying that like reusable straw, you know, that's become really 21 because that's been like hyper capitalized, but it can be like not using so many single-use plastics, like those clamshells that you get with like prepackaged foods. Those can't be recycled. And also, it's just at this point, you know, people aren't buying or recycling anymore. So it's not only that, but like finding as much as you can to like reuse, whether that be like using a glass mason jar, whether that be you could even, if you don't want to make that, if you don't want to change what, you know, how you're consuming, which I highly recommend, and there's so many different ways to research that online, but there are different ways, whether it be like calling your elected officials, it be showing up to city halls, and it be showing up to different community organizing, like meetings or events, and like having your presence there is so important, because power is in the people, truly, and you only need 3.5% of the population to start a revolution.
Oh, totally. And the other thing I would add would be, a lot of people have these pie-in-the-sky things, oh, it's too hard, or I don't know where to start. Go to Auto Trader. You can pick up a used Fiat 500 electric for like $6,000. And it's not, you don't have to wait and buy the $34,000 like Chevy Bolt. You can do this now.
Yeah, and if you're comfortable and able to, like, Portland's a pretty bike friendly city. I used to live in Seattle and I biked there, and that was a mistake. I mean, those hills are absurd, but here in Portland, it's like there's like actual like bike lanes. The hills aren't that evil sometimes, depending where you are.
I was like, up in a pretty evil one yesterday, but yeah.
And those are the things that you could, like, that's one thing you could do as well. On top of that, it's sometimes just like sharing on social media some stuff, because now we spend so much time consuming via social media, you know, and that's how I've like learned about a lot of different movements, a lot of different organizations, is through just somebody sharing something on an Instagram story or sending me a link to this like Facebook event or something that they think, oh, this might interest you, or this might interest somebody who follows me. And like, even just a simple share on social media and actually reading the very in-depth posts that now exist on social media, you know, those are really great ways to even educate yourself, because the first thing you can do to arm yourself in a revolution is to find ways to get educated.
Definitely. Do you want to leave us with any thoughts before you head off for your day?
Oh, yes. I just want to say that I really am so excited for everybody who's going to show up today. I mean, our speakers are incredible, and I really just want to highlight the fact that this has been youth-led. So every time you're looking out into the crowd, or you're seeing, like, some social media posts or hearing about the climate strike on social media, know that youth have been the ones to spearhead this, frontline this, and fight for this. And they have been working with these, I hate using the word kids, but
yeah,
working with these like awesome leaders has just been one of the most inspiring and fulfilling things I've done in my years of organizing. And I know that they'll be able to inspire everybody here today too.
Well, thank you for joining us. Our guest is 350 PDX organizer Misha. Is it Bedlin?
Belden.
Okay, there we go. And then when do you start in front of City Hall officially?
We have the official time at 10:30.
Cool.
Normally people are late. Programming starts at around 10:45.
Cool. We'll leave it there. The number, again, to donate to KVU, 877-500-5266, or go to kvu.fm. I kind of bulldozed through a three-minute pitch break, and I'm very sorry to Radhika over at Pledge Central. This has been a very special edition of the Heather McCoy Show. Until whenever I meet these airwaves again, have a great morning, and come out to the climate strike. Numbers matter. Let's send a message to the powers in Portland that we need to do better as far as climate. Thanks for listening.
Donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Crema Coffee and Bakery, located at 2728 Southeast Ankeny Street, serving local coffee and baked goods every day from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Lunch was provided by Crush Bar, located at 1400 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. Crush is an all-inclusive event space, bar, and restaurant open till midnight or later daily. Dinner was provided by De Nicola's, located in the Creston Kenilworth neighborhood at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. De Nicola's Authentic Italian Restaurant has been a family-run Portland institution for over 40 years, serving Italian cuisine and pizza. Open daily from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. or later. For more information on how you can support KVU, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KVU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KVU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVU Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KVU Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.